Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
Well, as I look out the window here, I see the runners coming up. I guess that's Wacker. In fact, I know that's Wacker Drive. That's Lower Wacker Drive. So our guest got stuck because of all the street closures. So Marianne Minnick will be here in just a couple of minutes. We're going to be talking about, I think, because she said, I give up at some point. I'm just walking the rest of the way. We're going to be talking about veterinary medicine and how veterinary medicine, as I speak to you right now, is changing. We'll talk about how some of these changes are great for our companion animals, and some of them might not be so great. Most of all, we're here to talk with you, as always, 312-981-7200. You can text, you can call that same number. If you have questions about your pet's behavior, 312-981-7200. I hope to see you at the cat convention. It's called the Meow Meetup. It's at the Rosemont Convention Center. I think that's the Donald Stevens Convention Center now. It's in Rosemont, right off River Road. And I am speaking, I'm not sure, I think at 11, maybe 12 noon, but I know I'm speaking, and I'm doing so about fear-free, which we'll talk about with Marianne, too. That's one of those changes, one of the things going on in veterinary medicine. And then I'll be talking about enriching cats' lives. But aside from that, all these celebrity cats, you heard me right, celebrity cats. You go on Instagram and cats are celebrities, not movie stars, cats. Who would have ever thought? Also some sessions about bottle feeding, you know, little tiny kittens. How do you take care of them? Information about fostering. Lots of shelters will be there. In fact, cats and kittens will be available for adoption throughout the day, and much more. That is all at the Meow Meetup, where I will be. And then on Friday, no, I've got that wrong. On Saturday of next week, I'll be at the University of Illinois. All of this information, I'll be speaking also about fear-free. And all of this information is on my website, which is stevedale.tv. Over the course of the past couple of days, I've been called a lot. I've been called a lot of things over the years. That's not what I mean. I've been called a lot about concerns about hot weather and pets. And well, as Mr. Schwani mentioned, it's really cooled off. Thank you. I got up this morning. It was like I was in a different place than where I went to bed last night. The temperature dropped. It must have been 30 degrees or more. But in any case, when it was, it's going to get hot out again. And what kind of drives me crazy, let me rephrase that. It doesn't drive me crazy. It's a tragedy. And 82 animals have died that we know of, many more that we don't, from last year, 2018, into this year. That's the count of animals that have died in hot cars. Now, the thing that I don't understand is the disconnect. I mean, all of you listening to this show, I'm sure know how hot cars really get. But the other issue is that dogs, in particular, because it usually, there are some instances of cats, but it's usually dogs that die in hot cars because we typically take the dogs with us. And then I don't know what happens, whether people have run into a store and figure they're going to be out in 5 minutes or whatever. But people don't seem to realize how hot a car gets. But in addition to that, how difficult it is for dogs to cool themselves. We're pretty good at it. As you may not feel like it, or you may not have felt like it over the past couple of days, but as species on the planet go, we're pretty good at it. It turns out sweating is a pretty efficient way to keep ourselves cool. What's not so efficient is how dogs are able to do it, which is mostly by panting. Now, they can sweat just a bit from their paw pads, and if you see a dog walking and a little wet spot occur in your house or outside, that dog is really, really hot. And it is sweating from paw pads. But panting turns out to be not all that efficient. And then if you add some other factors, and the biggest of which are the dogs that we call brachiocephalic. Those are the dogs that look like they walked into a wall. They've got the pushed-in noses. It could be a Shih Tzu, a Pekingese, a Bulldog. I mean, Bulldogs, or French Bulldogs at times, can have a difficult time on a day like today, almost, walking more than a couple blocks on the street. I mean, you walk outside, it's nice and cool out right now for us. For a Bulldog, it's kind of on the warm side, you know? And that is because, again, they have a very difficult, they have a short airway system because of the way we've bred them. To be honest, some of the boxer, some of the dogs we call pit bulls. I mean, there's lots of other Affenpinschers, lots of breeds that would kind of fall into that bucket or fall into that category. So that's more difficult. And then they have Marianne right over there. Then larger dogs. The larger the dog, the more difficult it is going to be for that dog to be able to cool himself or herself off. And then, who would wear a black t-shirt when it's 90 degrees and sunny, right? So the heat, it makes them hotter. You know, white-coated dogs have a better time than, better time isn't quite the right way to say it, but an easier time than very dark-colored dogs. You don't need to hear that, Marianne. You just need to hear me for me. That's okay. All. So I'm glad you made it. Good morning.
Oh, my God. Thank you so, so much for waiting for me.
Oh, it's not a problem at all. You're on WGN Radio, of course. It's 17 minutes before 7 o'clock. And let's talk about what you're here to talk about. And that is veterinary medicine and how veterinary medicine is changing as we speak. And in some ways it's great, in some ways not so great. And I'll tell you what, I am going to let you catch your breath, literally, I think. And this is a good time to, as they say, pause.
Okay.
When this show says pause, I mean it in a different way.
Not P-A-W-S.
P-A-W-S for commercials. 17 minutes before 7 o'clock on WGN. We'll be right back. Good morning on WGN. Marianne Minnick is here, a certified veterinary technician.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, and in addition to that, you guys are opening up a clinic.
We are working on it. We've been working on it for quite a while. It will be an all-encompassing hospital, daycare, rehab, and with all the things that we've envisioned that veterinary medicine really should be.
Where will it be?
We're looking at St. Charles.
Which is a wonderful, yeah. Beautiful area.
It is a beautiful area. We do want to eventually do equine, too. So that's the perfect place. I mean, it's horse country out there, too.
Yeah, yeah. So veterinary medicine has changed a lot since your grandfather's day, you know?
Yes.
And one of those changes is that small sort of ma-and-pop practice, which was most of veterinary medicine, is now the minority in veterinary medicine, and it's right. Quickly becoming more and more a minority. In some ways, I would argue that's a good thing. In some ways, maybe not so much.
It is good and it's bad in some ways, I guess. What we're finding is I was reading an article that talked about mega hospitals and how the veterinary practices are turning into mega hospitals, and those are all run by corporations. And sometimes, you know, how when you get into a corporation, you know, they're great because they offer a lot of benefits, but the personal aspect kind of gets lost, and especially when we're dealing with our pets, that's the thing that's really important to pet owners is that human-animal bond, and we want to have that with our doctor, too, and oftentimes people feel like they're just a number.
Yeah, increasingly I hear that. But I'll tell you, not nearly as often on the human side.
Oh, no, not on the human side, but I mean, that's what I'm saying, on the animal
no,
side.
No, I mean on the human side. If you have a medical problem, you can get caught in the system really
fast. Oh,
that's
true.
You know? And I think veterinary medicine is still way better.
Oh, I do, too.
Yeah.
I do, absolutely. That's why I'm here.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it took me a half a century to figure out what I wanted to do when I grew up, and I'm finally here, so.
Yes, you most certainly are. And the last time I saw you, I was speaking, as were other folks in Chicago, about an initiative called Fear Free.
Mm-hmm.
So it used to be the veterinarians were taught, just kind of get it done. Do what you need to do to get the job done, whether it was a procedure of some kind, a vaccine, no matter what it was, taking blood. Just get it done. Right.
However you have to, whether you have to restrain that animal.
Twelve people have to restrain the animal.
Yeah.
Really? And now the thinking is emotional health matters as much as physical health.
Exactly.
And we'll care about how we do what we do.
Well, absolutely, because what you find is when you put 12 people on a dog to try to get blood, the next time that dog comes to your place, he's not going to want to be there. And you talk about emotional stress and emotional emotional issues. You know, those poor babies, if they get so stressed they don't want to be there, nobody wins. You can't get, and from a veterinary point of view, if the animal is not calm, you're not going to get a good reading on them.
Well, that's the other thing, you know. So, and by the way, there's lots more information on this on a website. Mm-hmm. I'll give it a moment. That's for all of you. This website is for the general public. And I want to talk about how the internet has affected things as well.
Oh, my Lord. Dr. Google.
Yeah. But I mean, you're absolutely right, of course, that if you get a blood draw on a cat that thinks, I am going to die, and some of these cats actually are thinking that, then you're going to get a skewed result.
Exactly.
And it'll be difficult. Even the best veterinarian can't discern for sure what's going on.
Right. Not only the what you see physically, but it can affect the blood.
Exactly. The blood itself. Right.
Exactly. So you're not going to necessarily get what you want.
And you won't be able to tell that cat is diabetic,
and it's
for
a waste.
Example.
And it's a waste. So, you know, why not? There are so many things that we can do. And the website also talks about things that people can do at home, especially with kitties.
Yeah.
You know, with the crates, getting the crate out, getting them comfortable with the crate, take them on a ride that isn't going to the vet, take them to someplace nice, get them used to being out and about.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they go, then it's not such a stressful thing.
And there is a way to do all that, even with cats, by the way.
Yes.
And there truly is. So that website we're talking about is fearfreehappyhomes.com. So we take texts, we take phone calls, Marianne. I have several texts. One here says, I have a 13-year-old tabby, calico mix. Her litter box is in the basement. I watched a puppy for a week. Lucky you.
Oh, man.
And the puppy roamed the house. I kept them apart. But now my cat will not use the litter box. Do you have any suggestions about that?
Oh, how about a new litter box?
Maybe
something a little different.
Yeah, so what I would do is I would consider, first of all, litter boxes in the basement are my favorite thing anyway, especially as cats age and your cat, I'm sorry, is getting older, not younger.
Right.
So a surprising number of cats, and we'll talk about this too, are actually arthritic. Your cat may not be saying that to you, but now your cat might be saying, it hurts to go down there, I'm worried about going down there, I don't know where that puppy went. Also, there was a big change that no one warned the cat about. This cat did not get an email a week before saying, a puppy's coming, get ready. So this cat's probably still upset about it. I would just add a litter box in a room that's convenient for you that you also believe the cat will go into without a problem at all. Make sure that litter box is kept clean and easy to step into. Keep the litter box in the basement if you want. Add another litter box in the basement if you want. But I would, no matter what, for any cat, but especially a cat that's 13 years old, I would not make the cat go downstairs to use the bathroom.
Right.
You don't want to do that when you're 75 or 85 years old. This cat doesn't want to do that either. And that leads us to another thing, that you wonder about something, anything. And that's the great thing about fearfreehappyhomes.com. It's a website where every story, every bit of information has been vetted, if you will, by behaviorists. Actually,
exactly.
Veterinary behaviorists, to our experts or your colleagues on the technician side that are boarded in behavior. Even things I write, they look at and they say, this isn't right, and they make sure that everything is right. And more than one set of eyeballs does that. I don't know any other website where that's the case. Because now, and this is one of the changes in veterinary medicine, is that people think, oh, God, something's wrong. Something might be wrong. And they go where? To Google.
Right. They go to Dr. Google. And sometimes you can find some really good information. The problem is knowing where to go. You can get some basic information over there, but you got to be really, really careful. If you want to look at a website, I always look at the .edu's. You know, go to the schools, go to someplace that's official. You can't go to a blog or or
well, you can if it's a trusted person.
True.
But just to randomly go to Annie's blog is not a good idea. You don't know the information that you're getting. In the practice that you guys are about to build up, there's a certain philosophy that I know you and your husband Jim have. One is that it's you and your husband Jim. So it's well, really, it's a family. It's going to be family.
Yes.
And you don't see a lot of that anymore necessarily.
No, we started this. It's a labor of love. We decided we wanted to do this because there's so much in veterinary medicine that, and there's so much that we want to be able to help people with. So much new technology that's coming out.
Well, that's the other thing that people may not realize. That machine, fill in the blank, whatever the machine is the same that you guys will be purchasing that's at the human hospital down
the
street.
Exactly.
Same
in
stuff.
Fact, believe it or not, a lot of veterinary offices have purchased stuff from human facilities,
sure.
X-ray machines and you know and the like. But that's the beauty of the technology is that this machinery, these diagnostic tools are going to be able to give us the opportunity to find out what's wrong much quicker. And unfortunately, that's there is a cost to that.
Well, that's another thing. So people complain about the cost of veterinary medicine all the time, and I get it. In fact, I'm involved in some ways in figuring this out. How can people afford veterinary care? On the other hand, I would argue that it's the biggest bargain in medicine because, as you mentioned, that equipment is the same equipment. The training, your training,
well, that's
your
it.
Expertise, the drugs are exactly the same very often. Drugs! You know what the cost of the same drug on the human side is? Sometimes it doesn't make any sense. And on the veterinary side, that cost could be 20%.
Well, and the thing is, too, though, where pharmacies used to be really big in veterinary practices, the pharmacies are getting smaller and smaller in practices.
Well, because you can go to Costco or
online. And to carry that inventory isn't necessarily feasible.
Necessary.
Yeah. So we'll write a script. You know, veterinarians, if you ask a veterinarian, they are supposed to write you a script for a medicine.
Sure.
And so instead of having to sell it to you right there.
So do you encourage people to look at alternative sources if that source
Absolutely.
At the clinic is a lot of money?
Absolutely. You know, there are so many things. If you, you know, the service itself is provided by a human being who has been to school. In many cases, they're boarded, which means they've gone to additional schooling.
Mm-hmm.
So they can give you the proper information. Those things like some of the medications, they can be gotten someplace else. So let the owner go someplace else. Let the owner get the medication someplace else. Maybe start them off with a small dose.
Mm-hmm.
And then that way they can spend their money much more effectively because the money that they're spending in the veterinarian's office is for their expertise, is for the machinery that we're having to use, the diagnostic tools, and then those other things, the food and everything else, that can be, you know, if they can get that more economically, then go. Absolutely.
Well, you know, we've been squeezed a little bit this morning.
Okay.
So if I didn't get to your calls or text, I apologize for
sorry.
That because I couldn't get to all of them. I'm sorry, Marianne. I'm sorry. We're out of time.
I
know.
Time flies. It's crazy.
It is crazy.
You are an angel.
Well, there's something wrong with that. You know, they ought to slow down the clock. So we have 26
you.
Hours in a day. That's what I vote for. Thank you, Marianne.
Thank you.